This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Keep up with the latest headlines from Austin and beyond on the all-new Talk1370.com. Stay informed with the latest news, weather, contests, and more. It's all just a click away at Talk1370.com. Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are pretty fired up about the show tonight.
We're going to get sideways.
Yeah, Betty, sideways, fired up. It's John Massengill. That was Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green is
Woo-hoo!
In the studios.
Come on now.
And we're fired up because we're going to talk some Formula One. We're going to talk some MotoGP, a little World Superbikes.
Sideways talk.
NASCAR Formula E.
And NASCAR Formula E, yeah. And, of course, we've got...
Luge.
To be most excited is that we got Andy Lally coming on to talk
I want to talk some street luge with him.
Yeah. And he'll be live with us in about a half hour. And very excited about that. And we also have Shayna Texter going to be... we just did an interview with her, and we're going to play that here in a little while as well. She's a fantastic flat track rider.
Phenomenal. And, you know, if you were here for the X Games, you probably had the opportunity to see her. And... You know, she's 5 foot nothing and doesn't weigh anything over 100 pounds. I don't think, and she throws that bike.
Yeah,
she throws that bike around, and she's got skills.
Her and Corey Texter have been really good over the last few years, brother and sister team, effectively. And she's amazing to watch. Actually,
I just love because you see her line up against those other guys, and you. Against the guys that are racing, and it's an obvious size difference. And then she jumps on these, you know, these twins are just wicked powerful, and it's such a fun sport to watch.
Fun to watch. Well, let's jump into Formula One to start with. We had some big news here in Austin, of course, at Circuit of the Americas for the American Grand Prix. We got Justin Timberlake.
Don't get any better than that.
Jonathan's going to be dancing all weekend.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm going to get everybody about dance. Oh, I'm all over it. No, and I think it's a fantastic fit. I mean, Bobby Epson was quoted in the paper this week saying that, you know, they started negotiation almost literally the minute, you know,
Taylor Swift steps off stage.
stepped off stage. And that's the right way to do it. And it's a very smart move. It worked last year with Swift, and I think it'll work absolutely, exponentially, actually, with Justin, because his fan base is literally
10-year-olds to 70-year-olds. He's so popular. He's a great personality as well as being a fantastic singer and dancer. But, you know, I think he'll also embrace being part of Formula One. And I mean, frankly, there's no equivocation. He's one of the biggest stars in the world. And to have him as part of the Formula One weekend is enough for, you know, somebody who's sort of erring on caution as to whether they want to go there for the weekend.
Yeah.
It just, that puts it over. I mean, you absolutely. And the price is unbelievable. If you buy your tickets now to the Circuit of the Americas, I think it's something like $150 or something. I mean, you're talking
like $169 for the 3 days. That's what it has been.
So you get Fernando Alonso and the rest of the boys. And you get, I mean, and there'll be other bands. They're going to announce a band for Sunday night as well. You know, it's just a festival-like atmosphere, as it should be.
And you know what? I think they proved last year that the investment in a superstar like Taylor Swift with is obviously a proven formula. It works because we had the biggest crowd we ever had, 270,000 people over 3 days.
Yeah, and we're expecting over 130,000, as we've had in the past, in the next few weeks, because, of course, MotoGP is coming. And that is, as again Bobby said, the second biggest attendance that we have for the year, right behind Formula One. And I actually love the MotoGP and the Moto America weekend, because the fans that come out for there, I mean, they really, really enjoy it and get into the festival atmosphere of it.
You know what? And speaking of MotoGP, I got something in my briefcase that Coda gave me. I got a pair of tickets to MotoGP that we're going to give away tonight.
You didn't tell me that.
Oh, man. I got to work that weekend.
Colin Edwards is holding his Grand Prix.
Let me tell them how to win the tickets.
Oh, right.
Because they can win. They can either call in tonight at 512-643-LIVE, or they can go to our app. You got to go to the app to click the win button.
No, they got to go to the app.
And if they call in and give us something reasonable, I'm gonna
come up with a question then.
All right,
and we'll put the name in there. All righty.
And if you don't have the app, you can go to our website speedcitybroadcast.com and click on the big banner. I think it's like the second banner rotating, and it says something about the app. So MotoGP tickets given away tonight. So Jonathan, you're going to the boot camp.
No, yes, I am actually. I don't think I'll be taking part.
Well, not after you knocked Rossi off the bike last time.
You know, we talked about it. We had a discussion, and you know, I just told him
how it was. He didn't put it to use. I mean, he used it before the season was over.
He did. I'll just say this: the following week, he went to Argentina, came together with Marquez, and came off better. Just saying.
I'd say take that credit.
I will. Yeah.
I think he's stealing it, but.
Colin Edwards and his team have got the boot camp going on just before MotoGP and then just after. In fact, they've got one over Easter weekend and Monday, Tuesday after, and that's when I'm going. And also the BT boys are going, so that's kind of fun. There'll be, hopefully, maybe, the possibility of some badasses like, ooh, let's say Vinales or Pol Espargaró or whatever, going. And it's always good to go down there and check out what they're doing. And then they've got another post-MotoGP from, I think, Tuesday after MotoGP to Thursday. So it's a four-day camp. But look on the website of ColinEdwardsBootCamp.com or TexasTornadoBootCamp.com.
Well, the coolest thing about that is what you were talking about, Les, is that you never know who's going to be there.
That's the beauty of it.
It is fun.
How much is sold out? I mean, I'm assuming there's still some of those spots have got...
Possibly, yeah. Go online.
Yeah,
it's always a great time. And, you know, we've been there for those. And even when I've gone to some of the boot camps that weren't around that race weekend, easily half of the attendees there were not from the United States, and that's what impresses me.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to get to know all those people, too.
It's a fun event. You know, you get major stars there. You get minor stars. You've always got the professional staff there working, so that's always cool.
Yeah, I took it to Shane and Texter. We had Jake Johnson's there all the time. He's a badass national champion, too. And, you know, like you say, you just don't know who's going
to
show.
Well, guys, let's go back to Formula One, because there's been plenty to talk about, obviously, and a couple of the stories. One of the things I want to start with is just Haas F1. It's not any revolutionary story, but the headline caught my eye. It said Haas annoyed with missed opportunity. Well, I certainly hope so. Let's be annoyed because we didn't have the reliability that we needed. But Gunther Steiner said after the race, and it's kind of something we talked about last week, said we know the car is good. The drivers are both positive, especially Romain. He was very positive. He lost a place to Felipe Massa at the start, but he wasn't too concerned about it. He saw the speed. Everyone could see the car was fast, and they could keep the Toro Rosso's easily away. The car has got speed. Well, yes, I think the car is fast. It's just scary that we didn't get either car finished And I hope that's not something we have to deal with for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, not being funny, but speed is like, it's the same with humans. You can't dial in speed to a human. You can't dial it. And when you get a car and run it on the ground for the first time, as they did at Albert Park, it's either fast or slow. And if it's fast, that's a good thing because you can develop it and make it faster. If it's slow, you got a long way to go.
Yeah, and it's true. The age-old speed versus reliability.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, so. That's the point. If it's not reliable, that's fixable. You hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
To win, you must first finish.
You say
that's
that,
true.
You say that, and that's a good point, Les. But then we think about the brakes last year. Haas dealt with the brakes all year. Think, is it fixable? True. Maybe it's not, mm-hmm.
Well, the good thing in this, I'm going to say good thing, again, making all the assumptions we just said, is that it was a gearbox. And a gearbox is pretty straightforward with what they're dealing with. So hoping that that's as easy as it sounded and as straightforward for them when they go to resolve it.
Yep. Hey, Les, you stumbled across a story that was very interesting, talking about Jenson Button and something he's saying about Liberty Media.
Oh, yeah, Jenson Button. So, Jenson Button is one of the drivers that enjoys a lot of the American motorsports. But what you may not realize is he's actually pretty savvy on the ongoings of NASCAR. And one of the things that he brought up is that he really hopes that Liberty Media, the new majority owners of F1, bring a NASCAR-like atmosphere to Formula One, is the phrase he used. And I get it. If you've ever been to any of the NASCAR races, I'm going next weekend to the big race in Fort Worth. It's
well, of course, it's a big festival. Race. It's Texas.
Yeah.
What's your point, boy?
It's a festival.
Yeah, you're right.
With a race in it. And so, 500 miles only turning left. I'll be quite honest. I'm going to go out and check out the Midway at some point during that 500-mile race. But there's activities going on out there. And, that facility, you've got cameras all over the place, TV screens all over the place. So if you hear noise go up, you can go run over and look at it.
And just to qualify, I think if I know Jenson well enough, and I also know where he's going with that comment, he doesn't mean he wants to see it like NASCAR. What he means is he wants it to be like American sport, American motorsport.
It's a show and a production.
Yeah, it is. And every sport, whether it's boxing, NFL football, NBA basketball, you name it, America have always prided themselves, and you should pat yourselves on the back because you guys, we only have to watch the Super Bowl to know, put on a show. It's always that way. It's not that the main event is a letdown by any means, but you never spend $100 in America and go away without being entertained.
All right. Well, let's go full circle. It was just announced Timberlake is going to play.
Yep.
How does that compare and what we saw last year with Taylor Swift?
Sorry.
He's back again. Back to us. Taylor Swift last year.
Yeah.
How does that compare to what the environment is of a Formula One race over in Europe?
To be honest, you talk about why I'm sitting in the seat right now and not sitting on Silverstone Radio, for example. To be honest, the Brits especially have got it bad. They're not good at entertaining, and they don't. There have been concerts at Silverstone to celebrate, but really, I've always been really disappointed. Silverstone, especially because it's a wide open airfield where if you're in the grandstands, you see maybe 100 yards of track.
Right.
And you can't see the rest of it. They don't have enough big screens so that you're keeping up with it. It's got better, and I'm probably going to get some real nasty letters from some Silverstone because they do try hard. But what I'm trying to get at is the Europeans, you've got to remember how the culture of entertainment at a venue has grown. Like Spa, never had it, and Spa's been going since, after Second World War almost. So, it's not a concept that comes easily, whereas America expects, they really do. It's part of the culture here, but they know that it's bang for your buck. The point is, people have got choices. If you're in Spa, or Silverstone, there ain't much going on around, and the Grand Prix is the big event. They come for 3 days, they put up tents, and they stay,
right,
and so on and so forth. It is its own entertainment, but it's an annual pilgrimage. In America, you're fighting for those seats, you're fighting for TV audience, you're fighting for family audience, you're fighting for what they can do in their choices for the weekend. So it has to be good, and it is good, and it's proliferated because all the sports do it. So if motorsport doesn't do it, and this is going back to Jensen, they need, especially in this country, and I think that's why Bobby and the team at COTA have done a great job of bringing an Americanism to Formula One without changing Formula One.
Excellent. Yep. I was just really curious because I was at Spa last year, and there was no concert. There was no big festival-like atmosphere. I mean, it was all, you know, sandwiches, brats, and
yeah,
and you know, yeah, things like that.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, I really. Yeah. You know, knowing the history of Spa and being so excited for myself to go to such a historic trash and Eau Rouge and all of that, it was just
there's nothing on, is there?
Yeah, it was like. Quite honestly, I was somewhat disappointed.
Yeah, I can totally imagine. I've been to the same event. I know exactly what you mean. That said, you go to Le Mans, the 24 hours, and that's why the big wheel's there, and there's entertainment, and it goes on into the night, and this thing. You know, it depends. Some people have got it right, others haven't. You go to Singapore, for example, and suddenly it's U2 and Beyonce, and you're in this massive city, and you can't get away from being entertained. All the bars deck themselves out in Formula One colors. They've got competitions. They've got special drinks. You know, they're going to China next week. Again, very different. I mean, they'll do their bit with China, but it will be different.
All right, guys, well, we got to stop. We got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about some MotoGP and some Americans racing in World Superbike and some other entertaining things at two-wheel.
Ducati.
And you know what, Jonathan? We're gonna give away some tickets. Jonathan's going to think of a question over the break.
Got it.
We're going to give away some MotoGP tickets. So you can either call at 512-643-LIVE or you can go to the app and click the win button and enter there. Listen to Speed City live from Austin. We'll be right back after these messages.
Ooh, it's something magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be controlled.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Sound off on the news of the day with the Talk Poll.
Online at talk1370.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Talk 1370. The right choice.
And as long as I got my suit and tie, I'm gonna leave it all on the floor tonight.
This is Alexis DeGioia, driver of the Tequila Patron Toyota Camry Nitro Funny Car. This is Speed City.
Speed City. I'm trying to tweet live while Jonathan dances his Justin Timberlake in the studio at the same time.
Dude, I'm just getting my workout. Dude, I'll be there, front row. Watch out for me. I might be blocking a few people's views, but...
You know, I went
He won't be missed. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
I want to introduce him.
I went with my daughter.
I get that privilege. I get the gentleman start your engines. Can I go, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Timberlake.
Hey, just go talk to Cody.
Great. I might have to.
I went with my daughter last year, if you guys recall, to Taylor Swift, and that was amazing. I got to put her on my 6'2" shoulders, and she was head and
shoulders
above.
That's a good spot. Yeah, I might take that next year.
No. You weigh about 150 pounds more. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, true. All right.
All right, guys. Well, let's talk some MotoGP, some World Superbike. Let's start with MotoGP.
Yes, we should, because they're coming. They're coming to town.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. And before then, they're stopping in Argentina.
Do you want to start with your question to win tickets? Let's
do that. My question for your tickets to the MotoGP here in Austin, Texas on April 21st to the 23rd is this. Marc Marquez is Captain America. No question about it. When it was in Indy, he won. When it's been at COTA, he hasn't lost. He is the mayor of Elroy.
Yeah.
No question about it. But he won his first ever MotoGP Grand Prix and became the youngest MotoGP winner, beating and eclipsing a record that had been held a long, long time. But who held it? Premier class, I should say. It was 500cc before all the boffins call up and tell me that it's not MotoGP. But,
call us up, 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Or you can go to the app if you don't have the Speed City app. Or you can go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and sign up.
Go to the app anyway.
Go to the app anyway. All right, so let's talk about MotoGP, Jonathan. What are the stories that are jumping out at you right now?
Ducati has to spring to mind because they came close again, but they didn't pull it off. And the other big story, obviously, is I think Maverick Vinales is pretty cozy on the back of a Yamaha. No question about it. We have a star in the making. Marc Marquez grew up racing with Maverick Vinales. He's been a champion already. He stepped into the limelight and he stepped on the best bike in the world, thanks to Jorge Lorenzo, who decided to go red and has gone to Ducati. He hasn't got his beeswax together yet, but he'll get there. But that's the two big stories coming out of Qatar, was the fact that they literally went head to head. Also, Rossi did a brilliant job. They cancelled qualifying, of course. Les, your thoughts. I mean, the other thing for me was, and I know what you're going to say, but my one was Aprilia. Brilliant result for Aprilia, getting right up there, and it's a whole new era for them.
Mine might throw you a curve. KTM.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't show great first time out. And not expected. You know, they're a brand new team. Certainly they're on a budget. They're not doing the unobtainium metal frames. They are doing the steel frames, you know, as opposed to the titanium and all the cool, you know, Moly stuff. I don't know if they're using stick welders on them or not, but the thing is, it's a very different budget coming in. It's their first time. It's the first time they've been at this level. We've seen them in the Rookies Cup, and you know, it's a great league there, and I want to see that come back to the U.S. But KTM, one more brand on the MotoGP grid, makes me happy.
It makes me very happy too, because KTM, a relatively small factory, they've had much success and punched above their weight in endurance and, you know, in cross like Dakar racing and so on and so forth. They've got the 390 national championship all around the world, including here in the States. But look who they've gone with. I mean, they've gone with Paul Espargaro and Bradley Smith, two of the hottest riders, who could have gone anywhere. And they've got Red Bull behind them, full support from KTM. I really like the way this is shaping up. And, you know, it's a bit like Haas coming into Formula One. You know, you want it to be right and you want it to be proper, and it is. And I think there's a good parallel there between the
exactly.
two.
Exactly. So I came across something online, and it wasn't from the official KTM or Red Bull outlet, but it said that they have a 7-year contract for this. Mm-hmm. And so they're in for the long run, which is good, because when you're starting off a new team like this, you're going to need to cut your teeth, and you're going to go have the growing pains and the poor success at times whenever you come through a scratch-built, you know, bike in this case. And so I'm glad to hear that it was a 7 years. I hope that's accurate, but 7 years, that hopefully we'll see
commitment.
Them.
Yeah.
It's a big commitment. Red Bull is certainly behind it. Great to see them there on the grid. Is, like I said, one more. I want to see all of that.
And like I said, just going back, that record, small factory or not, Paris-Dakar, American Supercross, Moto3, their own national championship. You know, when they do stuff, I mean, Smith and Spargo have signed 2-year contracts. You know, this is about as serious as it gets. And like I said, they didn't pull up any trees in the first race. But I think by the time they get, to be honest, that is, you're right, one of the stories I'm looking. I hope we can get somebody from KTM into the booth to talk to the fans in Austin, where on the big screens, because I think that's a really interesting story. And there's a lot of KTM fans around the world loving orange. Future is bright. The future is orange.
So we've got about 5 minutes before Andy Lally comes on, but I want to talk about World Superbikes, because Ducati again and PJ Jacobson.
Yes. Well, the season started off when we thought Johnny Ray, the Brit, the Irish Brit, was going to do a Neil Hodgson. Back in 2003, Neil Hodgson won the first 9 races, and it was starting to look that way because he won the first 4, then won the 5th one, which is the first race at Aragon this weekend. But it was a close fight between himself and Chaz Davis. Chaz Davis losing the front and falling off heavily, but okay. And he recovered for race 2 the next day, today, and won it. So he broke the stranglehold that Kawasaki have had, and he's now second in the championship. But it's great to see Ducati back to winning ways. Melandri's now joined the team. They've got a really strong and potent bike. Aragon's got on a massive long straight like here at Austin. And, you know, you really see just how good that bike is. But it also handles well now, too. And it's good. We've also seen Yamaha coming back. Alex Lowe's doing a good performance today. So there's some good stories throughout. So I'm hoping that this season will not be a Johnny Ray fest. Not that I don't like Johnny winning, but it's just, you know, you want to see close racing and you want to see... I mean, it was fantastic today. I mean, it was cat and mouse.
PJ was great.
PJ Jacobson was even better, yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, talk about him, this American,
well,
you know?
I met his dad and him when he was 16 at Assen. Me and Steve were sitting at the bar in... we don't sit at the bar. We were sitting near a bar.
of course.
In Northern Holland, as you do. And this guy came over, clearly an American, from New York, and it was PJ's dad. And they were doing a one-off ride and had just come over from America, and the rest is history, as they say, because he's gone from strength to strength, joined World Supersport, raced for Honda, and now racing for MV Agusta. And it's interesting because the MV, Jules Clousel, the Frenchman, did very well on it. It's a good bike at that level, at the Supersport level. And PJ took it to the podium again today against the mighty Kawasaki's and Hondas and Yamahas. So pretty impressive. I really do think he came so close to winning the world title. I think we've got a world champion in the making there.
Fantastic. Like I said, excited, you know, and I got to say, you know, we can't go far. We followed Nicky Hayden. And
of course.
He's just not pulling up the trees yet, as you
say.
Yeah,
but you know what? Yes, exactly. And I kept looking down the list.
It's a new bike.
Well, that's where I was going, is that Stefan Bradl is also, you know, no slouch, a world champion in his own right. And I think the point is, watch the development. They're top 10 now. It's round 3 of their first season back.
You could practically say it's KTM.
It is.
Honda.
It is. And I think you'll see the same in Moto America. Jake Gagne's got the Honda as well for the Broster Chicken team. Danny Walker and his team. And I think they will struggle at first. But Honda, you know.
I know. I'm thinking we can't have it both ways. Last year we were saying, oh, wait till he gets the new bike. And now he's got the new bike. And
yeah,
I know he's got to develop it. But
I was going to say, the fact still. That it's top 10 out of the box is
good.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good sign. All right, guys, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we're super excited because Andy Lally is going to join us, a fantastic motorcycle racer. What did you hear about his career? Fantastic career, amazing guy. So stay tuned. Listen, we'll be right back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born.
where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motor Cars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley services ride on. No longer is Bud's located in downtown Austin, it's now Revell's HD and has moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring your new, used, and abused. But remember, there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at revellshd.com.
Listen to your favorite shows. Keep up with the latest breaking news and more anytime at talk1370.com. Talk 1370, the right choice.
What's up? This is Bilko, freestyle motocross rider with the Nitro Circus, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, live from Austin, Texas. Yeah.
I am going to miss some of those freestyle guys on the motocross and the bikes. Those are...
I know. I was telling somebody they were...
Mad men.
They were talking about getting excited for X Games coming back to COTA, and I said, sorry, it is not coming back. But, hey, guys, we got to jump right into our first guest because we are so excited to welcome this gentleman to our show.
Like Chuck Norris of motorsports.
I don't know if you appreciate that.
We should. Our next guest has done he's done an amazing thing in NASCAR. He's done the 24 Hours of Le Mans. He's done ARCA. He's done the SCCA. He's done. I said that.
Can we just bring him on? This might take a while.
You're right.
Yeah, you're going to do his.
We want to welcome back to the show, Andy Lally. Andy, welcome back to Speed City.
Hey guys, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Where are you? What are you doing?
I am in Atlanta. I just got back in from the skate park. I'm tending to my wounds and getting ready to watch The Walking Dead season finale here in a little while.
Sounds like a perfect Sunday night.
Yeah, man. My Instagram is Andy Lally Racing, and if you check it out, I actually just posted the latest injury from today. I'm like a revitalized 80s skateboarder, but I'm horrible. And I dress up like the Michelin Man. Like, I'm all padded up like the over 40 crowd is over there. But I eat it huge, like at least once a day over there, trying something that I have no business trying to do when I watch these little 18-year-old, 16-year-old, 14-year-old kids flying through the air. And I'm like, I can do that. I used to do that.
Andy Lally, brought to you by Neosporin.
Yeah, no kidding. Andy, just to clarify, you say you don't know, you can't keep up with these. You're a world champion loser.
Yeah, so...
Pronounce that carefully.
I can lay that... Yeah. Street luge has been a massive passion of mine for a long time. I got into it from skateboarding. I've actually been street lugeing longer than I was skateboarding. I started skateboarding when I was about 10. I stopped when I was about 14. I didn't start street lugeing until I was about 25 or 26. And I've been doing that on and off now for 15 years. And it's been, it's really cool. It's an absolute risk. And I've actually gone to more countries to race in street luge than I have to race in cars.
So that is wild.
Okay, so that sport intrigues me. For one, I love luge on the snow and ice, but what is your longest run in any of those competitions?
Yeah, and how fast?
The longest hill that we do is about 3 miles. And that's a really... And we heat race. So instead, like ice luge is cool. I've done it. We did a cool cross-promotion thing way back in like 2004 with... the USA Luge, which was the sanctioning body for ice luge for the Olympics. And we did a cool thing where the top three American ranked riders at the end of the year traded places. And I got to go to Salt Lake City and do that. That was cool. But street luge is head to head. So we go down either 4 at a time or 6 at a time.
Oh. And
so there's drafting, there's full on chassis setup, just like a race car. It's obviously a little different. But a lot of the same racing lines and physics apply.
Yeah,
and it's a rip, man. It's an absolute. It's the grassroots start of any sort of racing. When you were a kid, you took something with wheels to the top of the hill,
yeah,
and you rolled down as fast as you can.
Well, what kind of speeds are you getting up to?
In September, I was fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at the weekend. I was fortunate to be one of 20 people invited to try and break the world record on this crazy, insane hill just northeast of Quebec City. So, like, basically over the tippy top of Maine in Canada. And the current world record had been 98.2 miles per hour. And of the 20 of us, yeah, wow. That's no brakes. That's no anything. The only way you stop is by dragging your feet on the ground.
Which
or
is a great idea at 98 miles an hour.
yeah. So the whole goal is to break 100 miles an hour. And three of us broke the world record. Wow. I was very fortunate to be one of those three. But my buddy Mike McIntyre shattered it at 101.9 miles an hour or something like that. Yeah, it was really cool. But it was insane because the road was so dangerous. It was so steep, but it was almost impossible to make safe. And it was done on a budget. I mean, they still had safety there and medical if you tried to kill yourself. But the guy that actually broke the record immediately crashed into a concrete wall.
Yikes.
And broken clavicle, broken arm, broken foot, split his helmet right open. I was the first one on the scene because it happened right behind me. And stitches, staples, all sorts of fun stuff.
And I got two things I got to ask you. Okay. First and foremost, after IMSA, a Speed City sponsored luge race from the top of turn one at COTA, first man to turn 19, I'm in.
I have wanted to do this since the first day I laid eyes on COTA. With the runoff that's in one would make a great starting thing. I wanted it to be either like a street luge, like with like a soapbox derby style kind of mentality, and maybe like we all build it, the teams bring it, and we do a run for charity where we all contribute something. It would be so cool. It would be so
well. We'll put you as the face of it, Andy. You know,
let me see what we can stir up. Let's see what we can stir up. We'll get Andy out there. What do you need suit wise? Do you need like Dainese motorcycle gear, or what do you need?
You know, so essentially, what most people do. NJK is the company that makes most of the suits for both stand-up skateboard racing and lay-down. And most guys wear leather. I wear Kevlar because I'm not into the leather thing, but I like the Kevlar stuff.
Kevlar's
it's
great,
a little
yeah.
easier. It's flexible. So, yes, we wear head-to-toe race suits, whether it's leather or Kevlar, one or the other. I wear Kevlar gloves with carbon fiber knuckles. I wear a full-face helmet. I wear either old race shoes or wrestling shoes because it's a smaller frontal area for your feet. And and I wear spine protector. So, I mean, we basically take the same route as a motorcycle.
I got to say, you could wear a full Dainese leather, you know, MotoGP suit.
Sounds like
it. Would work perfectly,
That is the exact leather suit that I wore when I first got it.
There you go. Now, listen, Andy, I've got a more serious question to ask. You're probably, in your knowledge of motorsport, be well aware of a young man called Lee Diffie. He's Australian, right? And that's not his fault, but anyway. And he's also annoyingly really talented. And he, of course, is the face of NBC's Motorsport.
And he was Jonathan's friend.
Until one day I went to his house and we street luged together. And
really?
it was something he does all the time with his buddies. And anyway, he did, it was great because I said, let me give it a go. Oh, well, it's quite fast. I'm like, give me a go. Well, I ended up going straight into a dumpster at about 40 miles an hour and injuring myself and getting a huge black eye, which I had to cover up for several weeks. But much to the, he called a doctor and everything. It was really funny. And then it spread it around the motor racing world as much as he possibly could, which made it with much hilarity. So I'm going to take you on because I know you've helped other drivers in the past.
Oh,
and
Will
I know
Hardiman,
that you're a coach.
You
Will Hardiman. You know, I know that you come with good pedigree. So will you, here tonight live, say, right, that's it. You're going to train me at Street Luge and I can go back to Lee Diffie and maybe I won't drink the four bottles of wine he gave me before I did it. And maybe I'll have a chance.
Absolutely. I got you.
All right,
Andy, just to...
In fact, he's practically a neighbor. Was this his house?
No, don't live near that man.
Connecticut.
He's dangerous, I'm telling you. How close do you like it?
Yeah, well, when you get drinking with him, obviously.
Yeah, well,
gonna,
you know
that's
then.
Going to probably spoil them. Yes, yes.
I realize this is still obtainable to Speed City, but can we talk about his racing season
really
for this year?
We should talk about Andy Lally's racing this year. What are you up to, my man?
This is always go that way. What am I up to? I'm racing for Michael Shank Racing this year.
Wow.
For the brand new 2017 debut of the Acura NSX. We debuted at the Daytona 24, and then our second race was just a couple weeks ago in Sebring, and then in 3 days we are headed to Long Beach for the Long Beach Grand Prix.
I will
and
be
then
there.
Right after that, we're heading to Coda. Yes,
I will be there. I will be at Long
there
Beach.
And there.
Yes,
and
I'll
Coda.
Be. Well, I'll be at both. But I'll be coming to see you next weekend. I'm getting there Saturday morning. I'll come and make a beeline for you, and I'll check out what I you can give me a spec scene for my luge.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. That'll be a good deal. In fact, I mean, SoCal is essentially the home of where Street Luge was born. Glendora Mountain Road and Signal Hill and all those places is where skateboarding birthed Street Luge. And I'm bringing my board to Long Beach. I'm going down a day and a half early. And from Long Beach, we're testing in Laguna Seca. So I'm going to drive up to
Corkscrew.
And yes. And we actually, so 25 years ago, we raced at Laguna Seca. And just last year, for the first time, they brought Street Luge back to Laguna Seca. And we're going to go backwards from the Corkscrew back down through turn 6 and then 5.
Oh,
and it's basically, you're just bombing the hill, but it's cool to be at Laguna Seca. It's a big, steep hill. We've done it before going the other direction from the Corkscrew and then down, but you're just starting at the Corkscrew. So there's no thrill in the Corkscrew because you speed up from 15 to 30 to 50 miles an hour fairly quick. But
I've got a feeling that we've got a series coming together here, and it starts at Bathurst. and we just use the track, you know, the day after each race. So Bathurst in January, then on to Spa, going into Laguna at Seca, and we'll finish at Coda for the grand finale.
So did you just pick Bathurst out of thin air, or did you know that the 2009 World Championships were there?
Oh, no! I did pick it out of thin air.
We started from the top of Mount Panorama,
and we
bombed it all the way down. There's a sick video of me. I was the number one qualifier for both classes. There's a spec class and an unlimited class. And then I won the spec class, and then a local Australian, really good dude, beat me by an inch. It took an hour for them to figure out the photo finish.
That must be soul destroying.
Yeah. And that was amazing because, I mean, you guys know the S's at Mount Panorama coming downhill. The final fast sweeping left-hand corner before the long downhill straightaway is all concrete. So it's like there is really no room for eating it and getting it wrong right there. And there were plenty of guys doing that, and it was pretty gnarly. Like I told you, I've flown to more countries. I've raced at Mount Panorama on my street luge, and I have not raced there in a car, sadly enough.
That's great.
But it is a really cool event.
It is, yeah. And that's an amazing track. That's so funny. So we'll have to do Pikes Peak to finish it all off with a mini Olympics.
Race at Pikes Peak.
No way!
3 years ago, we started racing from it's only about a 2 mile section. And the reason it's short like that is because it costs so much to airbag and hay bale all these corners. And it's a relatively low budget event. You know, if somebody's putting on an event and they've got $30,000 to $50,000 to put on an event, it's still like $5 a hay bale. And when you've got 2 miles of road and it's Pikes Peak, well, you got to nail the whole thing shut because you don't want to send a kid off a cliff at 70 miles an hour,
no.
you tend to overdo the hay bale. So we only run about 2 miles of that road, but it's cool, man. It is really cool. The downhill skateboarders do that event, and it is an amazing sight.
All right, the operational specialist I am. You need to do it on the same weekend of the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb and just run the other direction.
Except what I'm thinking, And then we can go to Goodwood and do the same.
I'm all about it.
Hey, listen, I want to hear about the Acura because to me, Honda, it's a really important couple of years, this, for Honda in so many different ways. I'm following him in Global Rallycross. I'm following him in TCR, which is touring cars. And, you know, they've got their production cars on display there. Obviously, they're kicking ass in Indy with the engines. But Formula One has been a struggle. And Honda are such a proud and you know, accomplished manufacturer. I just wonder, you know, what this means to the company as a whole.
It has been probably the biggest push from a manufacturer. I've been fortunate to be involved with a lot of manufacturers over the years and learn this whole process. And I understand this process, and I know that pretty much every manufacturer, when we come out of the gate, if the thing's not setting the track record on lap three, everybody's like, wait, what do we, you know, and it's like a little panic, but you know, we get it going. We've only done two races with this car. But it's had very good results. We had a top five finish in the 24 hours of Daytona, beating a lot of really high-end manufacturers that have been in the game of the GT3 regulations for a while, whereas this is literally Acura's HPD's first go at the GT3 formula, and I think it's been successful. You know, we are coming in with a clean sheet of paper. This isn't an evolution. This isn't, you know, something that's been going on for years and years and years. This is a clean sheet of paper in a brand new class for them. But we've come out of the box good. We led 171 laps out of 600 at Daytona straight out of the box. So I'm pretty stoked. To answer your question straight away about how much they want it bad. I mean, the amount of engineering support and feedback that we get, Michael Shank Racing is top notch. Mike and our guys, Dale and Ryan, Justin and David, all our guys that are hustling on this car day in and day out are top notch. But then again, the Lee and all our guys, Gary and everybody that is hustling on the HPD side want it just as bad, and that is so nice when you strap into the car and you know that everybody that is on that team wearing one of those shirts wants us at the top of the grid and is pushing as hard as they can to get us there. It's cool.
Let me ask you a question about just in general terms. I follow the Japanese GT series quite closely, or have over the years. I'm following what Nick Cassidy's doing now for racing for Lexus. But I mean, is this something that they plan to do across the spectrum? I mean, obviously here in the States, it seems to have got a lot more notoriety here. Where are they against effectively their Japanese competition?
Well, the wonderful thing about the GT3 rules package is that it is a worldwide set of rules where you can take the same car and run it in probably 85% of the rest of the world's endurance package. So how we develop this car in 2017 is going to then, how we finish up and what we develop and what we do is going to go into everything that are either factory teams and or customer teams, because you can buy this car as a customer. You know, all these team owners in IMSA that either elect to buy an Acura, a Porsche, a BMW, an Aston Martin, a Ferrari, so on and so forth, a Viper, a Mercedes. You know, we've got 15 different manufacturers represented and going at it tooth and nail every weekend. That's Acura's goal, is to be able to produce a race car that we can put in the hands of amateur and pro-am teams, as well as pro-pro teams, to compete all around the globe. To answer your question specifically about Japan, Super GT is awesome.
It is.
Absolutely. I want to be there really bad. I would love to go over as a guest driver to do one of the endurance races over there. It would be really cool. And, you know, who knows, maybe even full-time if there was an opportunity. But it's good people. They're going. And this car is going to show up all over the world for years to come.
You know what, Andy, I was just looking at, before you came on the show, I looked at an article, and it talks about the GT3 car that you run is about 60% stock. That goes right into what you were just saying. I mean, first of all, you start with this incredible street car platform, but obviously the carbon fiber body and some aerodynamic bits and pieces and stuff, but a lot of the car is pretty close to the stock car.
It really is, and that number, it is right around 60% of every nut and bolt that is on that car, most notably of all of that is the street engine. That is exactly the engine that we get. In GT3 rules, unfortunately, we are not allowed to run the Evo package where we can run the three electric engines that come with the street car.
Oh, man.
It is very, very much the street car we have to do by rules the roll cage and a lot of safety stuff, fire equipment, whatnot. We take out the right seat, we gut the thing. There's no carpet, anything. There's no amenities, no AC, none of that. It is the exact streetcar engine, and everything that you see on the track coming out of there is what that is. I got the chance to drive the streetcar at Daytona during a photo shoot, and we did like three laps around Daytona on the oval and then through the field, and they basically cleared me back to pit lane just after start finish, so I had to do a whole nother lap. And I opened this thing up through NASCAR 1-2 and then down the backstretch and could not believe the stability at high speed. It instantly became my favorite supercar, sports car, whatever classification we're calling these crazy cars.
I think supercar fits. I think because there's not that many cars that are hybrid pure performance like that. I mean, look, you've got the 918, the LaFerrari, it's funny, we were talking about this about 3 weeks ago, and I left the Acura off the list. And after the show, I went, dang, I forgot about the Acura, just because it's not $1 million like the other ones,
right,
you know?
Right.
But it's,
and it hasn't been around that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw my first one last night.
Did you?
Wow, you saw one on the street.
Yep.
I haven't seen one yet.
It was going the other way faster than I could, but I saw it.
Well,
as
you said,
gorgeous as it is, it's a little bit of a sleeper just because, you said, the old ones are known for their incredible handling, but they were always a little bit underpowered. So it's kind of had that kind of stigma to it. This new car, it's got an engine on each front axle, and then it's got an electric motor on each front axle for the all-wheel drive, and it's got an electric motor right in front of the gas-powered motor in the back to boost the thing off the line, and then you let the turbo let it rip, and this thing goes, and it shuts down, and it handles. It's amazing.
That's the perfect use of an electric motor, is a turbo lag eliminator. You get the car rolling, get the turbo time to spin up, and it's just seamless blast. Well, Andy, guess what? We are out of time, my friend. We could go on like this for about another hour, but we wish you so much luck the rest of the season. Jonathan will see you next week, and I'm certainly
going to
be standing there with his new luge board and ready to go. And
come
standing,
say hi.
I definitely will.
He'll be standing there dressed in his suit and ready
to go. Hey,
Andy,
are you doing Le Mans? Are you doing anything at one-offs this year?
I'm trying. The only one-off that I can't officially announce it yet, but I can tell you guys probably that I'm going to be doing the Mid-Ohio Xfinity race.
All right.
Seventh there last year in an underdog piece. Good guys, but just low budget kind of deal. And we're hoping to do something similar there again if we can raise the sponsorship. Other than that, I'd love to show up at some FIA GT3 races.
Yes.
Who knows? We'll see.
Spa. We see can take your luge to Spa.
Yes.
Andy Lally, thank you for coming on Speed City again. It's one of our favorite guests. We always have a blast, and we'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you in next week and at COTA in a couple of 3 weeks.
Thank you, guys. And again, if anybody's following along, it's just Andy Lally Racing on Instagram. Sorry for some of the not-so-political posts.
Thanks, Andy. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Good one.
Sure. Thanks, man.
All right, well, we've got to jump straight into
a
break.
Hey,
he's fantastic. Oh, man, amazing. But we got to jump into a break. When we come back, we're going to play some of the interview we had with Shayna Texter, the flat track racer. Back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Keep up with the latest headlines from Austin and beyond on the all-new Talk1370.com.
Stay informed with the latest news, weather, contests, and more.
It's all just a click away at Talk1370.com. Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370.
Envy Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only Envy Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by Envy Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 Envy Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of Envy Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
On air, online, and on your smart device. Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Hi, this is Michael Zweiback, driver of the number 2 discount tire Porsche. Welcome to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. We're going to jump right into this interview we did with Shayna Texter. She's the rider of the number 52 Honda in the American Flat Track Singles Class. And we caught up with her about an hour ago, and we're going to play some of that interview now, and we'll have the full interview up on our SoundCloud. But here's Shayna Texter.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
You know, it's been fun. We've been talking about you for a while, and it's really great to have you. For one, let me say, I've got 3 daughters, and anytime I see the women whipping up on the men on the track, we're cheering for you. So congrats. You're off to a great year already.
Yeah, thanks. It means a lot to, have all the support of everyone, especially the women. It means I'm going out there and doing my job the right way and, thankful to come off this weekend with another podium.
You know, but you are really unique in so many ways because, you know, other sports, swimming, basketball, whatever, you know, there's a lot of women involved. You are literally, I wouldn't say you're the only one, and I know you're not, but you're the only one in this that's made it as high as you have. I mean, you know, Danica Patrick's doing what she's doing, and obviously she's an exception to the rule too. But does it feel that way sometimes, that it's you against the world?
And not really. I mean, I grew up racing with the guys my entire life. I actually played soccer with a bunch of girls through my life as well. So I've been on both sides, playing with just all women and then playing with the guys as well. And, the support of the women in the paddock, the fan base and everything, it makes it feel like it's just one big, big family out there on the racetrack.
Well, I think the first time we met you was when you were here with the X Games.
That's right.
And
yeah,
going through that. That wasn't a great track, I'll readily admit. But what are some of the places that really stand out? Because we've got a lot of audience that just fell in love with the flat tracks while they were here. You know, we've seen it twice at MotoGP, and we've seen it at the X Games. But what are the tracks that we really got to look, and you got to check these out?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the X Games track, it's kind of a unique deal. They built the track just in the middle of a field and sent us out. So it's a little bit of a unique racetrack, but we have a lot of historic racetracks on the schedule. Some that have been going for 50, 60 plus years, like the Springfield Mile, Peoria TT, Sacramento Mile, and actually this year we're headed down to Texas Motor Speedway for the first time ever, so it's exciting.
I wish you were there next weekend. I'm already going to be there. But
Shayna, I want to ask you. You talked about the track. Les was alluding to that. It was kind of put together last minute here in Austin.
It got flooded a few days before,
and
they had to rebuild again.
How would you compare that? And was it that big a deal, or was it just so exciting to be at the X Games? Or how would you compare it?
I mean, the X Game, it's such an awesome event to be a part of. You know, to say your next game's athlete is just huge, and the amount of support that you get from outside the typical motorcycle industry, we don't get that anywhere else unless you're live on ESPN during X Games. So it's exciting, but the racetrack, honestly, it's the smallest one that we've ever been to on a twin CC motorcycle, and like you said, it's been flooded, it's been rough, it's been dry. Typically we race on half miles and bigger on the twins. This year they're actually calling short tracks on twins 3/8, and Texas is a lot smaller than that. So for me, it was always really challenging just because I'm 5 foot, I weigh around 110 pounds. So to try and muscle a big twin CC engine around that little track in Texas, it was a handful for sure.
Shayna Texter and Flat Track Racer.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to put the full interview up on our SoundCloud probably later tonight or tomorrow. But we got to go, guys. So check us out on SoundCloud, including our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. We have a winner. Jonathan, what was the answer to the question?
The question was, who was the youngest ever before Mark Marquez? And the answer was Shreveport's very own Freddie Spencer.
Freddie. Son of a gun.
Well, we have a winner. Eric Johnson. Johnston, you are the winner, my friend.
Not the guitarist.
You can either email us,
call us. He's been on before.
Yeah, hit us up on FaceTube or whatever you guys.
We'll find you.
We'll find you. Talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Sound off on the news of the day with the Talk Poll.
Online at talk1370.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.